Part C. In this part of the test, you'll hear two different extracts. In each extract, you'll hear health professionals talking about aspects of their work. For questions 31 to 42, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. Complete your answers as you listen. Now look at extract 1. Extract 1. Questions 31 to 36. You hear an interview with a bioengineer called Mark Kendall, who's developed a new method of administering vaccinations called a nanopatch. You now have 90 seconds to read questions 31 to 36.
Today I'm with biomedical engineer Mark Kendall, who's developed new technology called a nanopatch for delivering vaccinations. Mark, why is this new innovation necessary?
The needle and syringe method is more than 160 years old. It has made a huge contribution to increasing life expectancy, but we can still do better. Mm-hmm. The needle itself causes all sorts of problems. It's estimated that up to 20% of patients in Australia have a phobia of needles and don't get vaccinated against deadly diseases. This means that herd immunity is lowered and people are more susceptible to fatal or life-changing diseases. Not only that, but infections caused by needles are thought to contribute to as many as 1.3 million deaths per year worldwide.
So, what exactly is the nanopatch and why does it work so well?
It's a very small patch, 1 square centimetre, and it weighs very little. Each one has approximately 20,000 little points, or projections as we call them, on it. It's invisible to the naked eye and covered and sealed with a powder form of the vaccine. It's applied using a reusable spring-operated device, which releases the vaccine less than a minute after it breaks through the tough outer layer of skin and contacts the moisture within it. Afterwards, the patch can be thrown away. It's very effective because the skin contains huge quantities of immune cells. A needle targets muscle, which contains very few.
Mm-hmm. Could you outline the main benefits?
Well, the main one is improved immune responses. Vaccines work by introducing an antigen into the body. This is a safe kind of germ that makes our body think it needs to deliver an immune response, so it learns and remembers how to cope with threats. When the real threat, in other words, a disease, arrives, the body can deal with it and eliminate the infection. Now, certain layers of the skin are jammed full of immune cells, and the nanopatch is able to reach thousands and thousands of them within a microscopic area. When my team tested responses to the flu vaccine, they found that a nanopatch required a far lower quantity of the actual vaccine for it to be effective.
And what impact would that have in terms of global health?
Well, if we can take a vaccine that's currently $10 down to 10 cents, it would be a real game changer for the developing world, simply because it could significantly decrease financial obstacles and be delivered on a far larger scale. It also means that we may be able to develop vaccines which protect against more deadly infections. When we consider the big three, HIV, malaria, and tuberculosis, which cause more than 7 million deaths per year, there are currently no effective vaccinations for any of them.
I assume that being small must make transporting nanopatches easier. I mean, they must be far easier to transport than a needle and syringe.
Ah, yes. Of course, it's far easier to carry hundreds or thousands of tiny, lightweight nanopatches at a time than it is to transport needles or syringes. A car, bike, or van isn't always necessary to manage the load. This means we can deliver vaccines far more easily to people in remote areas, and these people often slip through the net. But it's not only the size, the requirement to keep a needle and syringe vaccine refrigerated all the way through from production to when it's administered is known as the cold chain. And as you can imagine, it presents huge logistical challenges in certain parts of the world. If the vaccine is too cold or too warm, it breaks down and is unusable. It's estimated that as many as half the vaccines in Africa aren't working properly due to a breakdown in this system. Because the nanopatch is dry, rather than being a liquid, the cold chain isn't necessary.
Why did you decide to trial the nanopatch in Papua New Guinea?
Well, Papua New Guinea struggles with a lot of the key obstacles to vaccination and reflects the medical and climatic conditions of much of the developing world. There's the logistics, for example. Papua New Guinea has only 800 suitable refrigerators, and many of these are old, in disrepair, or in the wrong locations. Not only that, but the country has unstable energy provision, which makes refrigeration even more difficult. But our main reason for trialling the nanopatch there was that the country has the highest incidence in the world of young women with the human papillomavirus, or HPV as it's known. This is one of the leading causes of cervical cancer, yet the vaccine is unavailable because it's too expensive.